Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, you're in the middle of listening to a bunch of commercials right now, but here's the thing. You don't have to listen to the commercials, including what I'm saying to you right now. Now, you might be asking, how the hell does that work, Bob? Well, all you need to do is go to patreon.com/BobSeskaShow and sign up for the ultimate edition of this podcast. And if you do, you're going to get an entirely commercial-free version of every episode of the show presented exclusively on the Patreon page and on the Patreon app. Plus, you're going to get the Shadow Docket bonus shows and the Friday After Party included in that level of support. But wait, there's more. You're also going to get access to the Patreon app, the Bob Seska Show chat room, the comment sections, and more. Again, it's the ultimate edition at patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Not great, Bob.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, March 19, 2024. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi there, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,155 of the Biden-Harris administration, 231 days until the 24th presidential election. You find me on Threads and Instagram. The Bob Seska is my handle. Twitter, BobSeska_go, and our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. And that guy right there, it's Buzz Burbank with the news.
When you say Buzz Burbank.
Photoshop
it. You said it all.
Here he comes.
Yeah. Just drop my face in with the kids. That'll be fine.
Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hi. Hello, everyone. He's Bob. I'm Buzz, and we burned up on reentry, but they still call us a success.
Yeah.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Were you wearing the green on Sunday? Or do you celebrate St. Patrick's
Day? Oh, crap. Don't ask. I'll get pinched. No, I wasn't.
Oh, God. St. Patty's Day was Sunday, and let me tell you something. When it comes to St. Patrick's Day, there's nobody more Irish than Rudy Giuliani. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, remember him?
Yeah.
He reemerged this week and predicted 6 more weeks of Trump trial delays.
Oh, that bastard.
Rodent. Nevertheless, spring does officially arrive this week, and the days are already getting longer.
Thank God.
Trump likes the longer days, too, but he thinks they're buying him more time.
So he's delaying. He's using the time switch,
Bob,
to delay. Okay.
And we can laugh about that because we all learned yesterday that Trump can't cover his bond. That news broke about the same time he was. Trump's former bootlicker Mike Pence announced that he will not endorse Trump for re-election. Pence said he planned to announce that later this month, but didn't want to leave anybody hanging.
Jesus.
And the U.S. Border Patrol. The Border Patrol's come up with a controversial new way to stem the flow of migrants.
Yeah.
They're extending the wall with stuff that falls off a Boeing airplane.
Oh, music, the Bob Seska Show.
All right, we're kicking off a brand new week with this classic, this old yarn from the great Rocky Mountain Mike.
Yeah,
here we go.
Got a call from an old friend who used to be real gross. Said he couldn't go on the Republican way. Avocado toast. Now he lives listens to Stephanie's show from L.A.
And Bob.
I don't need you to tell me your lies from the old right. I don't care you insist that Joe Biden go home.
No.
I don't care what you say anymore. It's the big lie. Go ahead with your orange lies. Throw me a bone. Shove it up your ass, the big lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Always makes me laugh.
It's worth it just for that closing.
Yeah, I know. That's why I play it. I mean, it's a great performance by the great Rocky Mountain Mike. Yes, yes. Big lie, right? Rocky MNTN Mike on Twitter to follow him. And we've got more from Rocky Mountain Mike later in the show, so stick around. Yeah. So this is a fun day. We've got lots of fun things happening all around. Yeah.
It's 2016 all over again.
God damn it. That's not the fun thing. No, that's sorry. Not. That's post-traumatic stress disorder.
No, of course it is. But things seem to be happening so quickly.
Oh, yeah. Right.
It feels like that. It's starting to feel that sort of hecticness is back because of the year that it is.
The fire hose of news is being unfurled now.
It is.
Yeah,
it is. Unrolled again.
Right. So a number of things. I guess we should mention here right at the top that Peter Navarro is reporting to prison today. How sad.
So long, chump.
Good luck. What's his prison sentence? Like 6 months? He's got to go 5-6 months in there?
I think his prison sentence is don't hurt me. It's like 4 months, but really, seriously, to him, it will seem like 4 years. So try to look at it that way. Try to imagine yourself behind bars for 4 months. And of course, you know, life would have been fine by me. He only got 4 months. I'm as disappointed as you are. But imagine yourself in a prison cell for 4 months after the life that you've led so far. It's going to be hard for him in that respect, even in the nicer prisons. It's confinement. It's you can't go anywhere. You can't do this. You can't do this. No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yet again, another asshole who decided to latch their wagon to the Donald Trump star and gets burned in the process. And you'd think at some point people would see Peter Navarro going to prison and go, hey, maybe I shouldn't pal around with Donald Trump.
Or will they look at the lesson of Paul Manafort and say, well, he got pardoned and now he's got a new gig with Trump again.
That's true.
I mean, if Navarro's out in 4 months, in five, he can be working for Trump again.
Oh, God.
It also sends that message. And so, I'm disappointed at the 4 months too, but he's got to wear the orange suit. He's confined for 4 months. Let's take that as a win.
So thank you for turning the fun news story at the top of the show into bad news, Debbie Downer.
I don't mean to, because at least they have gone to prison. There's going to be more.
That's
We're not
true.
Done yeah, yet, yeah. But at least it's starting. At least we are actually sending warm bodies to prison now over this.
Again. Right. I don't think Donald Trump's going to have the opportunity to hire Peter Navarro because he's not going to win this election.
So, well, of course. Yeah.
Naturally, it's fun to imagine Peter Navarro in prison because, quite honestly, I wouldn't last 4 hours in prison. 4 hours in prison would be a nightmare. This guy's got to go for, what did we determine? Four months, five months, something like that?
At least 4 months.
Yeah. Anything beyond a couple of minutes is probably too much and totally terrifying.
I'm going to say the privilege of touring, maybe 10 different penal institutions.
Yeah.
Men's prisons, women's prisons, federal, state, county jails, juvenile facilities. I've toured all of them in the course of my early journalism work.
Yeah.
And, you don't want to go there. Even the nicer ones, not so nice.
Yeah. Has anyone seen the show Oz? That's what I always think of. That's the first show I go to when I imagine the inside of a prison, or like Escape from Alcatraz, something like that.
Right.
Yeah. It's just terrifying. So good luck, Peter Navarro, as you report to prison.
Yes. Now, like, as I said, I forgot to add a caveat. He can go back to work for Trump when he gets out. If he gets out.
It's, oh, God, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, I see you just...
Yeah, yeah, well, that'd be a shame. Yeah,
that, yeah, no, we shouldn't even speculate about that.
And the other great news that we have to talk about today, probably at greater length than we discussed Peter Navarro, is the fact that Donald Trump is probably broke, you know?
Yeah, well, that's... Oh, yeah, I mean, that we can genuinely... You can belly laugh over that one.
And I will. I will laugh at this a lot. This is my favorite story, obviously, and some time now I'm having it pumped intravenously into my system. It is that much fun because right on the heels of being adjudicated as a business fraud by the state of New York,
right,
Donald Trump is now further proving that he is a business fraud by telegraphing the fact that he is flat broke. He's got all this property, but it's leveraged beyond belief. It is probably earmarked with tax liens and all kinds of other stuff that prevents him from actually acquiring bond. He's unable to put up the collateral for bond. And one of the surety providers, Chubb, we talked about Chubb last week.
Yes, yeah.
Right, yeah. So now Chubb has pulled out of those negotiations. Chubb was supposed to provide the bond for the $500 million that he owes the state of New York, right?
That's what Trump was hoping, because they came up with the $91.6 million in the E. Jean Carroll case for him in exchange for Secretary of Commerce or some job like that for the guy at Chubb who was responsible for that.
Yeah.
So they were able to help him out to that extent. But when you're talking about this much money, and what happened here is you had like four, four agencies, whatever they're called, looking for backers. And they polled nearly three dozen financial institutions. and they said, well, look at all this real estate he's got. Yeah, we'll put that up as collateral. Well, the banks don't want the real estate. They want the cash.
Yeah.
They don't want real estate that they have to turn around and sell.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't want that. That wasn't sufficient collateral. They want cash or cash equivalent. And Trump was absolutely not able to offer that. He's such a funny idiot because he thinks he can negotiate everything.
Yeah.
And initially the court said, well, here's the judgment, half a million, $464 million. And he goes, how about $100 million? So can I give you you can negotiate a court order,
right?
You know,
right. Trying to screw over his subcontractors.
It shows what he doesn't know again, as usual, which is everything. He doesn't know everything, or whatever I used to say about Trump doesn't know nothing about nothing.
That's right.
And so he's displayed his idiocy, and now he's exposed his brokenness, as you just pointed out.
That's right. In fact, we can say that Donald Trump lost his Chubb.
He did.
Yeah, that was
very sad. He had Chubb for a while.
Right, he did. Yeah.
And then he lost it.
We are
children. It happens.
Yeah, it does. Happens. It does. It happens to all men, allegedly. Yeah, yeah.
Well, but back to the news, Bob.
Right. Yes.
Enough of the silly noises. Let's get back to the news.
And speaking of news, this was the report. This was the discussion on MSNBC when this news broke. Let's listen.
Yes.
Let's listen and enjoy.
We're back with breaking news on one of Donald Trump's legal cases. Trump's lawyers say the former president has been unable to get a bond for the $464 million fraud judgment against him in that civil fraud case. Back with us now, Catherine Christian, former assistant Manhattan district attorney and MSNBC legal analyst. So, Catherine, Trump's lawyers write in a recent filing here that getting the judgment's full amount in a bond is a practical impossibility. They say they have tried to approach about 30 surety companies through four separate brokers and cannot get a bond for this amount. So what does that mean?
That says he doesn't have the collateral, so a company is like, no, we're not going to do it. And what it means, unless the appellate court, in New York is called the appellate division, grants him a stay until after the appeal is done to pay, Attorney General James has said she's going to go into court, and so he has until March 25th, and she's going to request that his assets start being seized. Properties, liquid assets. So that's going to happen if he doesn't get the stay, and he has to pay, because that's what the attorney general said she's going to do if he doesn't come up with the bond or the money.
They're going to take his stuff. They're going to take his stuff. They're going to nail signs on the doors and take his stuff.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful news, huh?
I did my homework. I'd like to show my homework now.
Okay.
Here are the things Trump can do to avoid the state of New York and Letitia James from seizing his properties.
Gotcha.
And they're going to do that Monday if he doesn't get it together. Let's pick choice number one, bankruptcy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Trump hates bankruptcies and has been burned by them in the past. He doesn't like the way past bankruptcies have worked out for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does not want that, and he does not want that in an election year.
That's right.
Bankruptcy on the table, off the table. Second choice, choice number two, he could have a fire sale. He could start selling off some of his properties quickly to get rid of them.
Yeah.
The downside of that is he would do so at a great financial loss because he's desperate and has to sell, and because the buyers will know that, mm-hmm. they know they can get the properties from him for less, and he doesn't want to sell them for less. So that option on the table, now off the table. That's two down, a couple more to go. He could appeal, as we just heard in the tape that Bob just played.
Yep.
Here's the question about that. Is there time? Because if he doesn't have it done by Monday, they start nailing signs on 40 Wall Street,
yeah.
Saying this now the property of the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
So appeal on the table, maybe off the table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we keep ticking these off. Here's one. He could get help from an ally. Now, I've heard a lot of people expressing concern about this. Could it be Russia? Will it be Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
Will it be Elon Musk? Or, hey, announced that same day, Trump bringing back from his 2016 campaign the previously imprisoned Paul Manafort.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Who is a funnel to Russian money and arriving just in time.
Yep, there he is. Shit, so, that was a great list.
Thank you. Those were his options, and you can see there's only one left, and that's Paul Manafort.
Right. It's a gigantic national security problem. This is a huge issue for just Donald Trump, but for the country now. And I'm going beyond the fact that this signifies the lack of qualifications for this guy to become the steward of the national economy. Like, this is his personal finances. This is showing that he's a terrible, terrible businessman, not just because of the ruling itself, but the fact that he's got all these assets, allegedly, and he can't pay his bond in order to appeal. So he is caught in this trash compactor of his own making, right?
And much of the admiration of MAGA for this guy is twofold. He's rich and he's a smart businessman. Well, now we're finding out, as Bob just illustrated, he's neither of those things.
And so that eats into the political side of all of this.
Yes.
But from a practical point of view, this makes him susceptible to blackmail. And this is a huge issue. I mean, anyone else, this would disqualify them from getting anywhere close to the White House.
Right.
Republicans have, for all intents and purposes, Donald Trump is the nominee of his party. They are now putting up for president, once again, a man who is probably up to his beady, freaky-looking eyeballs in blackmail from other foreign nations or some sort of financial influence that he will then use the presidency in order to satisfy. In other words, that this compromises Donald Trump so badly that it could affect policy, it could affect the way he governs, and certainly this goes to what I've been talking about for some time now, which is the fact that Donald Trump wants to be Vladimir Putin, not just in terms of becoming a dictator, but in terms of becoming a kleptocrat. Donald Trump wants to pillage the national treasury for his own wealth, right? Or his lack of wealth. And that's the more important distinction. So it's entirely possible that Donald Trump is going to compensate himself by slowly bleeding, or quickly, as the case may be, bleeding the national treasury dry. We saw hints of this during his first term. And we saw him, what was it? He got $5.5 million during his 4 years from China alone. God knows how many more millions on top of that through his properties and so forth that he was using. Rachel Maddow has been talking about this a lot in terms of, bilking the Secret Service for room and board at his various resorts. I mean, that's how he does this sort of shit. So what you don't want is a man entering the White House while he is up to his beady goddamn eyeballs in debt of any sort, especially debt that pertains directly to his status as a business person, that exposes the fact that he's an enormous and obvious fraud. I mean, it didn't require these court cases to prove that he was a fraud. Right. But this further reinforces the fact, the observation, that Donald Trump has no business being anywhere close to the economy, and why anyone, especially after watching him crash the economy, watching him rack up 14% unemployment, 9 million jobs lost, right, during COVID under Donald Trump. And so we're going to make this guy our latex salesman? Are you fucking kidding me? No way.
Our challenge here is the national amnesia, and our job here is, and you've already begun this, I've begun this, and with the intention of ramping it up, I intend to help the public with their amnesia about Donald Trump.
Same.
And I hope the people listening also, I hope you folks also ramp up your efforts in this area. It's time to get back to work in this regard.
Yeah. In fact, it's so urgent that I have actually gone back to posting actual shit on Facebook. Right. Typically, I just post promotions for the podcast over there. Mm-hmm. But I've started posting actual shit that I've yanked out of the memory hole, because I think it's crucial that we remind other people, like regular people who don't necessarily follow politics all the time, about what it was like. Because astonishingly, I get the sense, Buzz, that people have kind of forgotten. Like they have Donald Trump out of their heads.
And I'll tell you why. They're still looking at expensive grocery prices. They're still in the stores grumbling about Joe Biden. We don't want to believe this, but it's true. A lot of the voting public is still in the grocery stores complaining about Joe Biden and blaming him for it. Now, you've raised the proper question, which is, what is Trump going to do to bring the prices back down? But it's our job to shake them out of their focus on the prices that they're paying now and back onto what it was truly like 4 years ago when they couldn't get toilet paper and the streets were empty.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are things that are more important than the price of eggs, and we need to emphasize those things. Yes. We need to remind people what a nightmare it was under Donald Trump. I mean, I yanked a clip out of the memory hole. This is one of the many things that I think we've all forgotten. In fact, I forgot about it until I happened to stumble onto the clip myself. And that is Donald Trump during COVID in June of 2020 telling a rally crowd. Well, first of all, he had a rally, during the first wave of COVID, like an idiot. I wonder how many of those people died, those rally goers. That's a whole separate question. But during this rally in June of 2020, Donald Trump, remember when he said, "Slow the testing down, please"? He said there was too much testing showing a greater rate of infection for COVID, and that made him look bad. So he said he told his people to slow the testing down because it was making him look bad. That's the kind of demonic, nightmarish bullshit that we faced for four goddamn years.
And I would say, using small words that are simple enough for everyone to understand, we should continually remind people of what it was like 4 years ago, because that's the only way to shake them out of their whining about prices today. And what they don't take into account is that wages are up as well. Remind them of what unemployment was like. I found a link from one of the newspapers, I guess the Washington Post, that allows me to type in a date, and it'll show me the front page of the paper from that day.
Oh, nice.
And am I going to be using that over the next few months?
Good.
To remind us all of where we were under the misleadership of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
These are the things. The public, like I said, we're going to have to use small, simple words. We're going to have to keep it basic. But it's our job to remind them that they were not better off 4 years ago. And in the course of our work, reminding them of the threat that Trump poses to democracy.
Yeah, I posted a whole list of things on Twitter. I'm trying to quickly reference it here. Of all the things that were happening, exactly 4 years ago. 9.4 million jobs lost, 14.8% unemployment. The economy had collapsed. The daily death toll was greater than that on 9/11 for a significant period of time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The top 10 deadliest days in American history included multiple days in 2020. Mass graves, bodies kept in refrigerated trucks. We couldn't buy water. We couldn't buy toilet paper. We couldn't buy PPE. We couldn't buy masks. It was a catastrophe of the highest order, and it boils all down. The buck stops with the beady-eyed motherfucker in the White House at the time and his failure to do anything about it, and in fact, encouraging people to ignore all the safety protocols, which is exactly what he did. So that is just what we're talking about when we're talking about 4 years ago. That's one of the reasons why Katie Britt said 3 years ago during her State of the Union response. She didn't want to go to 4 years ago. She went to 3 years ago in an obvious confession that 4 years ago was an untenable nightmare. So, meantime, I wanted to mention this. Hal Sparks had a great idea in terms of how Donald Trump could pay his bond. Okay. And this is semi-sarcastic, obviously. But he said, let me get this straight. Trump bought Mar-a-Lago for $10 million. He now says it's worth at least $1.2 billion. So if he needs money, why doesn't he just take out a $500 million home equity loan on it?
There you go.
Even if he loses the appeal, he'd still make $700 million if he had to sell it. Or is he just blazingly full of shit, pussy-grabbing second-generation rich kid? Yeah. And that's probably the... I think more appropriate solution. I mean, there are lots of things here, lots of ways. I mean, the guy says he's worth $9 billion. That's what Donald Trump says he's worth, $9 billion. He's on the record as saying that, which means he could pay his civil fraud penalty, Buzz. He could post the bond, and he would still have $8.5 billion after paying the bond.
If that were true, but studies of his financials show that he's actually only $2 billion, so he's nowhere close to having the $9 billion he once claimed he has.
See also fraud remarks, right? Every angle on this exposes him as a gigantic business fraud, as a liar, and he has been lying to his own people about this.
And one of the reasons, I know you've been hit recently with more MAGA people. I've been hit with more MAGA people. I talked about it last week. Last week, I gave kind of a preview. Well, it's only gotten more so since, and I'm less bothered by it now. I'm tickled, and I'll tell you why. And I've heard from other people who are hearing from more MAGA now. We've awakened them.
Yeah.
We have triggered them.
Mm-hmm.
They are, and they're scared. Frankly, they're scared. Yep. That's why they're behaving the way they are. Know that about them, because for all that has been, for all the BS that's been said about Joe Biden, from the economy to his ability to maneuver himself, for all of that BS, nothing compares to Hitler Jr.
That's right. I mean, the other thing that, I mean, now when we're talking about Mar-a-Lago, for example, Donald Trump said that was worth 1.5. Oh, yeah, he said Hal Sparks quoted 1.2. I think it was I think he was saying $1.5 billion Mar-a-Lago was worth. I mean, he could sell Mar-a-Lago, pay off the civil fraud penalty, and have $1 billion left over. I mean, just pegging off of what Hal was saying. So there are options for Donald Trump, but actually there are no options because none of that is true. Judge Engoron pegged Mar-a-Lago as being worth around $25 million. That's it. And so there's nothing he can do with that, especially since it's probably already collateral for something else. You just can't stack up. You can't reuse the same collateral over and over again, because if he doesn't pay, then who gets the property? You know what I mean?
If it were collateral for something else, Letitia James would know that.
Yeah.
In a lot of corporate cases, they don't get into the minutia. This case is about Trump's finances. It's about his wealth and his worth and his value and the value of his properties. So believe me, Letitia James knows everything there is to know about the status of Mar-a-Lago and whether or not. I think if it were already up as collateral, we would know about it. Certainly she would. And that's one of his most prized properties. Trump Tower in Manhattan, Mar-a-Lago, these two he's never going to let go of. Maybe Bedminster he won't let go of. There are a lot of things, there are a lot of other properties he cares less about. And those would be the things that he would most likely try to sell. Like I said, I think we're past all that. I don't think he wants to sell anything at a loss. I don't think, you know, in some kind of like a fire sale deal. Mm-hmm. There won't be time for an appeal, I don't think, unless there's an emergency ruling. So since we hear he doesn't want to do bankruptcy, that just leaves help from a wealthy ally, whoever that might be.
Yeah, Sherry Jacobus on Twitter suggested that Letitia James start with Bedminster, seize Bedminster first, so that Donald Trump is forced to spend the summer of 2024 in Florida. At Mar-a-Lago, so that he just sweat it out at Mar-a-Lago in August. That'll be utterly hilarious. So if Letitia James is feeling devilish, you start with Bedminster first, seize that, put that on the auction block to pay his bond, right?
And in cases like this, courts have been known to seize cars and things like that. Yeah. Doesn't he have an airplane?
Right. He's got lots of shit like that. My question is, if Donald Trump, if a property is not put up as the bond or something like that, if he's not getting it on the level, the broader question is, does he have to disclose where he's gotten the money, where he's acquired the funds to pay the bond? I know when I've applied for mortgages in the past, the mortgage company or whoever, the lender, has asked me, well, where are you getting this money? Are you getting this from your parents? Are you getting this from your checking account? Are you, where's the down payment coming from, Mr. Seska? And I wonder if the same question is asked when he puts up the bond. Did you get this through a surety company? Did someone lend this money to you? Did someone just give you straight up $500 million to pay this? And so that's the big question, because that's where we could find out. I want to know who's providing this cash to Donald Trump, because if it's a conflict of interest, and especially any size conflict of interest, massive or small, doesn't matter, it's going to compromise him as a would-be president.
Remember, there are supervisors over his companies, court-appointed supervisors. Mm-hmm. Letitia James knows everything that moves. So if whether she can do anything about it, it may be another matter. Oh, I got this from Elon Musk. Well, what's she going to do? Her job is to collect the money for the people of New York. And so she will no doubt accept it, even if she knows where it comes from. I think her authority to do anything about it may end there.
Yeah. I go back to Lalo Alcaraz's cartoon that was inspired by our discussion here on the show. The image of Donald Trump with his pockets, you know, yanked out and just standing there with his hands out like, oh, fuck, I'm broke. I'm totally broke. And I guess this sound could go with it, too. I love this story. Yeah. This is an amazing thing, and hopefully it's resonating. Hopefully people are paying attention and seeing, oh, this is the way this guy manages his finances, and he wants to be the steward of the economy, huh?
The paying attention is where we come in. Because like I said, the electorate is not yet engaged. We were talking before the show. There was a recent survey that said 49% of Democratic voters believe, it's not going to be Biden. They'll put somebody else in there. And a third of Republican voters at this stage think, it's not going to be Trump. They'll put somebody else in there. So what we have is denial on both sides about the reality that it's already settled. We have two candidates. It's Trump and Biden. You may not like it. You may not want to hear this news. You may still believe they're going to do something else. They're not. Mm-hmm. You're wrong. This is where we are. So we're still at the stage where we're waiting for that to soak in to the electorate. We're dealing with babies. We're bringing them up. We're starting at square one here.
Yes, we are.
So consider this square one where a third to half of the electorate doesn't believe that our candidates are our candidates. Mm-hmm. So know that that's where you're starting. And like I said, use small, simple words and march forward with the work we have to do. This situation with Trump going broke It does a lot of lifting for us. As Bob said, it dispels the notion that Trump is rich and a smart businessman.
Yeah.
And it certainly gives us hope in the for at least in one aspect of the justice system, the mm-hmm. civil courts, and gives us something to celebrate as a form of justice being delivered.
Yeah. You know what? The Republicans could have avoided all of this if they had just nominated Nikki Haley or someone else. But they're not smart enough for that. They're too interested in the cult and the hero worship and the rally crowds. That's what they're all into. And they don't realize that they're putting up this guy who's just loaded with all kinds of negatives. And we know the entire long, long list of hundreds of thousands of things. And the downsides of Donald Trump actually cancel out any downsides that Joe Biden might have.
More than. A thousand times over. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Our challenge is explaining this to an unaware, unengaged electorate. Yeah. That's where we are in mid to late March of 2024. We've still got months ahead of us. We've got some time to do this work. But realize we really are, as in terms of there's Bob, there's me, there's Jody, there's David, there's Kimberly, we could go on. And then there's you. We're all engaged. Mm-hmm. We all know we're up to speed. Assume that no one else is. In fact, go farther and assume that they really don't want to know. A lot of people who are not engaged don't think they don't want to be or don't want to be or say they don't want to hear about it. They're tired of it. They don't like either of these guys. They don't want to hear about it anymore. Our job is to overcome that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, we want to talk about the bloodbath situation. And lots of angles to this. And including the fact that you were mentioning the upswing in MAGA trolling. And that was certainly the case after Donald Trump said that if he loses this election, it's going to be a bloodbath for the country. I emphasize for the country, not for car sales or the auto industry. For the country is what exactly he said. So we're going to play that clip. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to get into the flood of MAGA trolls on Twitter that certainly were running around panicking, trying to figure out how best that they could triage this problem for them, because it wasn't just a thing full of partisanship and hyperbole. This was something that made national news. The most major news programs talked about this, led their news with this story.
Right.
So we'll talk about that, plus Mike Pence and his decision about Donald Trump and whether to endorse him, plus Judge Mershon denied Trump's motion to block testimony from key witnesses in the election interference trial with Alvin Bragg in New York City. And there are some additional details to that story that I want to cover that are just awesome. When you hear this list of things that Trump cannot do by order of Judge Mershon's court, you will be delighted by this list. I guarantee it. And a whole lot more. So stick around for more podcasting. We'll be back right after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
there's exciting news in Stephanie Miller podcast land, isn't there, Chris? We now offer Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast and the Out of the Gate podcast.
Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour podcast is once a week. It is the best interviews of the week from the Stephanie Miller Show every Friday. Stephanie Miller Out of the Gate is daily. You will get the first segment of every day's Stephanie Miller Show, plus Stephanie Miller's Happy Hour Extra, which is the best interview of each day. So three different podcasts in one feed.
Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Subscribe on your favorite podcast app.
Bob Seska.
All-time favorites all day long. I got my headphones on. Some days we're lost in darkness. Some days we can't find sparks yet. We keep reaching and keep climbing, trying hard to bottle lightning. Some days we lose the light, but now I am shining bright. I'm walking with my headphones, soaking up the sunshine, singing every word like ooh, breathing in the fresh air, everything feels good again.
And we have our headphones on too. What a coincidence. Yeah, this is the great Bitter Elegance. And one of their more recent singles is called Headphones. Got a link in the description for that, of course, at bobseska.com. Just find this episode dated 3/19/24 at bobseska.com. Click that link, scroll on down. You'll find links to support all the independent recording artists on today's show. Thank you for doing that. Okay.
That has sort of a European flair to it. I like that.
Yeah, and for some reason, every time I hear the Bitter Elegance, I think the singer sounds like Mary in Ann Arbor. It's
well,
uncanny.
Compliment.
Very, very similar. Yes, it's a compliment to both singers.
To both,
of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Bloodbath. Bloodbath Gate. Whatever you want to call it. In case you missed it over the weekend, let's just play. I'm going to play the clip of Donald Trump saying this just to kick things off. This is Donald Trump at his rally. I believe it was Saturday, was it, Buzz? Saturday night, maybe?
Yeah, Saturday evening, yes.
Yeah, he was talking about, allegedly, the auto industry, and this is what he said.
And you're not going to be able to sell those cars if I get elected. Now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole. That's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine.
So that's what he said. And
you're right.
It's quite clear what he was getting at. But I want to just address the car thing first. And Lawrence O'Donnell did a great A block about this last night. Just reiterate one of his primary points, which is that what Donald Trump was talking about as far as the auto industry goes, he was talking about applying a 100% tariff on cars that are built in Mexico. In other words, he is going to double the price of those cars for consumers. Now, he thinks, and his idiot, gullible fanboys believe that a tariff is just the amount of money that Mexico will have to pay the United States, and that money goes into the Treasury. That is 1,000% incorrect. That is not how that shit works. It gets passed along to the consumer. So when there's a tariff applied, that is a tax. That is a 100% tax on vehicles that are manufactured, in this case, elsewhere.
And sometimes American cars that are manufactured in Mexico.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the cost is 100% passed along to the buyer.
So that's what everyone was applauding for. Oh, boy, cars are going
to
cost
to pay more.
Twice as much. Yay, Donald Trump. Just such a wizard with finance. That's the big lie. That's one of many big lies.
So now we can shoot down and set aside that stupidity and get back to the bloodbath thing.
Exactly. So the thing that happened afterwards is naturally everyone jumped on this. Like, oh, well, there he goes again.
MAGA. Right. Yeah. I would call it a bloodbath, Bob. I'd say there was a bloodbath of MAGA.
That's
immediately after that.
Well, but we all were commenting on it, too, because we got to emphasize the fact that, once again, this guy who's already under indictment for January 6th, to be clear, he's not talking about a bloodbath for the auto industry. He's talking about bloodbath for the country is literally what he said. So, there is the context of the auto industry, but we're talking about a guy who, as Michael Cohen said in under oath testimony in Congress, Donald Trump uses coded language all the time. Donald Trump, Donald Trump says shit like this, and he kind of couches it in a way that he can wiggle out if he needs to. But his supporters, his fanboys, hear one thing and one thing alone. It's okay if you, for example, kick the crap out of protesters. Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that Donald Trump talks in violent rhetoric all the time. Mm-hmm. That is the context. The context is a guy who is responsible for an insurrection in Congress to try to overthrow the election, the 2020 election. We saw what he was trying to do in Lafayette Park. He told Mark Esper that he wanted to maybe shoot protesters in Lafayette Square. And ended up just gassing them. That's how he was able to go do that Bible photo op.
I believe he's yelled, knock the crap out of
knock the crap out of him.
At his rallies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And he's talking about bedlam if he's removed
right.
from ballots. I mean,
he's
this is something
that
he constantly does, and we know what his supporters do. We know how they react when they hear him say that. It's Donald Trump is setting the tone. He's making it okay to not just be a racist, but not just say awful things about his political opponents, not just calling for them to be imprisoned because they've been mean to Trump, but also the fact that he says, you know, it's okay to kick the crap out of that guy or have bedlam over there and go down to the Capitol and fight like hell, which is what he said on January 6th. And we're going to go do that. And then they went down and did that.
Right.
So that is evidence. That is the context. So for all of the MAGA people and some of the people in the traditional political
stand by.
Exactly that, too. So for all of the MAGA people and, of course, some members of the political press who are like, well, the context was the auto industry. No. The context is the broader context of who this guy is, what he represents, what he said in the past, and what he's under indictment for right now. And so there's your goddamn context.
The immediate context of his remarks, what surrounded his remarks, was in fact about cars.
Right.
So I think we have to agree that the immediate context, but it was a dog whistle.
Yes.
It was a back reference to all his other calls for violence.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to put this in context with a discussion of context.
Yeah.
I got into a discussion of context with some MAGAs, and they argued that, well, it was about cars. And I said, yes, but the context is a guy who led a January 6th insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
The context is a guy who's made violence part of his brand.
Yeah.
The context, if you want to talk about the context of the speech, if you want to talk to a MAGA about the context of the speech in which he referred to bloodbath, the context was the speech opened with him telling the crowd to stand and salute the January 6th insurrectionists.
Mm-hmm.
As hostages.
Yeah.
That the unfairly treated January 6th hostages, I believe their very bad announcer calls them.
Yeah.
As he rolls that recording of them singing the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
The context of his speech was it opened with a salute to the people who violently attacked the Capitol on January 6th.
Bingo.
That's the context. So if they want to talk about the context, well, the context was cars. No, the context was the speech that opened with saluting the people who violently attacked the Capitol. That's the context. And the bigger context than that is his, as you have pointed out, history of calling for violence. This is another, and they're not, you almost can't call them dog whistles anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a dog whistle of sorts. It's just that now we can hear them.
Yeah.
But it is another call to the racist, to the insurrectionist, and to those who delight in at least the idea of violence.
Okay, so the next thing I'm going to do here is a rabbit season, duck season trick in three acts. Okay, you ready for this?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. So in reaction to this, I wrote this on Twitter. I posed this question on Twitter. Right. This was shortly after it happened Saturday night. I said, what are the legal ramifications for someone who threatens political violence at a public rally while under federal indictment and is out on bond? Anyone? These are just questions. I didn't say Trump's name, nothing like that. I'm just asking a question about threatening political violence while under federal indictment and out on bail, right?
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe the mentions in reply to that from MAGA trolls, Nazis, Trump sycophants, fanboys, etc. Donald Trump was talking about cars. He was talking about the auto industry. You idiot, you libtard, etc., etc., etc.
We've triggered them.
Yeah, I think last check I was coming up on a million views for this question. And so one of the people who came back at me, well, Dinesh D'Souza replied and was like, oh, yeah, he was talking about cars, you idiot. And then, you know, the guy Bill Mitchell used to be a Trump guy, then went with DeSantis during the primaries. Now he's a Trump guy again. Well, he said the same thing. He was like, well, he was talking about cars, you idiot. And I said, oh, hang on a second. I wasn't talking about Donald Trump. I wasn't. Did I say his name? Well, no, I was. I back up and try this again. So wait a second. Are you saying funny that you should mention that I was talking about Donald Trump? Like you assumed I was immediately discussing Donald Trump as though you know what he's like. You know the things that he does. The threatening political violence is something that he does.
Right.
And I said, well, funny that you should assume I was talking about Donald Trump. I just said someone. It's almost as if you know what he's like. You know what his nature is. You know that he threatens violence. So you're interpreting my someone to be Donald Trump. And so he said, well, yeah, but I mean, look, you talk about Donald Trump all the time. I mean, you've got a bunch of other posts about Donald Trump. So naturally, it makes sense that you were talking about Donald Trump. And I said, oh, no, wait. So the broader context of who I am and other things that I've said actually matter in this case. And then hence rabbit season, duck season. So they they confessed basically that the broader context actually matters of what Donald Trump says on a routine basis.
Don't let them distract you with the zoomed in up close macro context, which was a discussion of cars. Make them look at their broader context, which is a candidate who's always called for violence, who in fact inspired violence on January 6th, who to this day praises those who committed violence on January 6th, and who has used the word bloodbath. For those of you, he should not be allowed to use that word, by the way. Yeah. Trump should never be allowed to. In fact, you hearken back to the movie Lost in America with Albert Brooks. Trump should never use the words blood and bath in the same sentence. Never again.
That's exactly right. And what that was a permission slip from Donald Trump to do whatever the hell you want if he loses. But, I mean, going back to my question, what are the legal ramifications for someone who threatens political violence at a public rally while under federal indictment and out on bond? Glenn Kirshner kind of answered that question. He didn't say in response. He didn't say it in response directly to me, but he posted this. He said, if a defendant on pretrial release in a felony case promised there would be a bloodbath if he didn't get his way, do you know how fast he'd be revoked on release and detained pending trial? So, yeah, this would be an issue for Trump if we didn't have a two-tiered system of justice, which we actually do, that benefits Donald Trump. Donald Trump believes this is the two-tiered system of justice goes against him, but it actually benefits him. No one has more privilege in the course of a criminal proceeding.
No one's gotten Donald more Trump breaks. Yeah. No one's gotten more breaks ever. You know, we hear about this persecution. Nobody gets the breaks that this guy has gotten. I was whining. I was just crying last week about, you know, when are we going to stop giving him the benefit of the doubt? When are we going to stop, bending over backward to be fair to this guy?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other good side of this, the good news to come out of this, is this made national news. This led the major network news programs.
Finally.
For example, ABC World News Tonight led off their newscast, I believe it was Sunday night, with this.
We begin tonight with the race for the White House and former President Trump's campaign now on the defensive after his fiery rhetoric at a rally in Dayton, Ohio on Saturday night. Trump warning while discussing the economy that there would be a, quote, bloodbath if he is not reelected in November. This after the former president kicked off the event by paying tribute to those who attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
Exactly as I said. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, people don't generally watch a lot of news on the weekend. That's why there's a weekend anchor in that chair.
Yeah.
But this is why I'm proud of ABC and happy for what David Muir previously referred to on this program as Skippy. I'm really proud. I'm really proud of what he and the team did in leading and covering this last night on the evening news for those who still watch it. It was again, Bob, after the weekend anchor led with it on Sunday night. David Muir, the main anchor, led with it on Monday night. And as you and I were talking before the show, it was splashed all over newspaper and newspaper websites everywhere.
Yeah.
This got a lot of play, to which I would add, you know, finally.
Yeah, exactly. And likewise, Morning Joe, Monday morning. This is Joe Scarborough going off about what Donald Trump said. And one of the reasons I'm playing this, too, is to indicate that our reactions to when he said this Saturday night were not out of bounds in any way, shape, or form.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the framing, the same framing I was using and everyone else was using to describe this, everyone who's against Trump. The same framing is being used by the major
press.
News networks. I mean, apart from Fox News, the usual suspects. But the broader press is just as alarmed about this as we are. So
it's gone mainstream, and I mean that in the best possible way.
This is Joe Scarborough's discussion briefly about this issue yesterday, or Monday morning.
Obviously, he's talking about a bloodbath for America. It's laid out in the terms of it. And these idiots on Twitter, these idiots on cable news, these idiots on Sunday shows going, well, our presidents, you know, he was talking only about the auto industry. And this is one more. It's just bullshit. Let me say that at 6:15 a.m. It's just bullshit. He knew what he was doing. We're not stupid. Americans aren't stupid. He was talking about a bloodbath. Sometimes a bloodbath means a bloodbath. And when he finishes by saying, and that's just going to be the least of it, seriously, these people may be stupid. We're not.
No, it is clear what he meant. And one of Trump's sort of rhetorical gifts, if you will, is he speaks just vaguely enough and just circuitously enough that people can kind of read into different meanings. He allows himself a little wiggle room and a little
doubt
every time. And we saw this in the aftermath of what became a firestorm about his bloodbath comments, because rightly, it was the headline that came out of that rally in Ohio. It was reported all over the place. And immediately, you saw, we showed the statement already, the Trump campaign, within minutes, put something out, because they recognized.
They knew he had screwed up.
And they do have some professionals on their team, and they immediately realized it was a problem, and they tried to clarify it with that comment. But what happened then was there was a snowball effect on cable news, and particularly on social media. Voices in the right wing, including some very prominent voices on the right wing, really pushed back against this, claiming the media was taking it out of context, that we were biased against Trump, that we were misconstruing what he said, et cetera, and as you say, Joe, yes, his comments about bloodbath came shortly after he was talking about the automotive industry. But again, that'll be the least of it. That's the tell. And also, it's that sort of violent language that was peppered throughout his speech, a speech that, again, mind you, began with the former commander-in-chief saluting the version of the national anthem being performed by January 6th convicts.
Yeah, there you go.
Mentioned earlier,
Right. And about all of that, about the reaction to what Donald Trump said, let me reemphasize the fact that Donald Trump never deserves the benefit of the doubt.
Ever.
He's done nothing to earn it. Name one thing Donald Trump has done or said to earn the benefit of your doubt. He should not get that privilege. He has to earn that privilege, and he has not. He has routinely trampled that idea. I mean, he has given us every reason to doubt every word that oozes out of his goddamn yapper. The safest bet is to assume the worst with Donald Trump, because you will most likely be correct in assuming the worst, because that's what Donald Trump does, the absolute worst thing. He represents the worst things about the United States of America. You take all that shit, all of the worst aspects of our society, and you throw it into someone's, you take all those things and you throw it into a hot dog casing, and there's Donald Trump. That is it. That is
good imagery.
Right.
Well, I don't think there's anyone listening who would disagree with that, or would have over the last 6 years, 8 years, whatever it's been now. I lose track of time at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking about that with my wife and thinking, this past 8 years, we're never going to get this back.
No.
He took it.
Yeah.
He took the last 8 years from us.
Mm-hmm.
This is all his fault, and we can't have that time back.
And let me emphasize the fact that it was his incompetence that led to the fact that even today we are still dealing with COVID as a thing. That is entirely on him. He had an opportunity to stop this, but he didn't. He refused because he prioritized winning the election over thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives, 400,000 lives during his final year in office. He sacrificed all those people for his own reelection campaign. And the great irony of that is, with all those dead bodies, many of them, thousands of them stacked up in mass graves, mm-hmm. he still didn't win the election. He gambled on all those lives and didn't win anyway. And thank God he didn't win. I'm just saying, from his point of view, if he had any sort of empathy whatsoever, and he doesn't because he's a sociopath, but if he did, he'd be like, holy fuck, I rolled the dice on all those lives and lost. All those lives, and many of them, his own supporters. Donald Trump kills his own supporters, pillages their checking accounts. Do you think for a second he's going to stop at the U.S. Treasury? Of course not. Of course not. That's going to be his. He's going to say, that's mine now. Try to stop me from taking it. And no one will, because he will be the American Vladimir Putin. So that darkness has to be met with this from the great Rocky Mountain Mike.
Everybody, listen up.
Quiet, everyone. Tom has something to say.
Thanks, Nancy. Well, as some of you, my fellow patriots, know, Nancy and I are celebrating the return of Trump to the White House this year by getting married.
Thank you. And we've also set a date and place, June 15th, at our favorite place, Skeeterville Third Baptist Church and Firing Range.
We look forward to all of you freedom lovers in your red hats being there. And for the record, Nancy and I are registered where else? At Blood Bath and Beyond.
Yes, Blood Bath and Beyond. The perfect place to find that perfect gift for your MAGA friends. Uh-huh. Like this stainless steel combination blender and torture device from Oster.
I'll put that to good use.
To go with your matching throw pillows, how about a 20-piece set of Gibson Cordell throwing stars?
Oh, I'll have to practice.
Maybe a half dozen of these Hampton Signature Switchblade dinner knives. And if Election Day doesn't go your way and you want to take it out on someone but just don't know what to do with those remains, try this Ella Capri 30-inch acrylic hydro massage walk-in bathtub.
I can already hear the bubbles.
When you finally decided to tie the knot, but you're also not ready for four more years of Biden, it's Blood Bath and Beyond. 14 tri-state locations, including Lakeview, Schaumburg, Downers Grove, Aurora, Elmhurst, and Skokie.
I love that.
I know all those suburbs.
Yep. Holy shit. The great Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky MNTN Mike on Twitter. God damn it. That's funny.
Blood Bath and Beyond.
Blood Fantastic. Bath and Beyond. Yes, indeed. And of course, the great JoJo from Jurors, whose podcast I was on yesterday. Oh, that podcast, that'll drop on Saturday. We recorded.
Is there a
yesterday.
Liberal podcast you're not on?
There is not. I am on all of them. In fact, I'm on three other podcasts right now as we're recording
as we
this
speak.
One.
Yes.
Yeah. So JoJo tweeted, it's weird that he didn't say it will be a bloodbath for the auto industry, but instead said for the country.
Well, that's exactly see, that'll, right. That'll teach him to let his dementia allow his sentences to trail off.
Yeah, that's right. And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that he once again said migrants aren't people. And he also, as you mentioned, he also did that J6 choir thing, singing the right. national anthem. That's everything you need to know about Donald Trump right there. He saluted it.
Embracing people who assaulted police officers.
Yes, yes. Please do yourself a favor if you have a chance. And of course, when you're done listening to this show, go over and listen to Hal Sparks on YouTube. He also posts the live stream on all of his social media things and so on. You can listen, just search for Hal Sparks and you'll find Mega Worldwide. Because one of the things that he's doing is he's emphasizing the entire rally, not just the big takeaways from the rally. rallies, but everything that Donald Trump says. Because sometimes, and he makes a great point insofar as focusing on things like bloodbath and so forth is fine, but what it also does, though, on the downside, is it emphasizes how abnormal that is, but by contrast makes everything else seem more normal that Donald Trump says. So it's important to get the full scope of what Donald Trump is saying. And along those lines, I want to say this one more time, and this we got to take a break, but I want to emphasize this as well. We've talked about already the fact that American voters have a short-term memory issue. They've got this this political amnesia where they forget things.
They've not only forgotten the bad things that Trump did, they've already forgotten the good things that Biden's done.
That's right. Well, one of the remedies for that, I think, has got to be now that Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party, it's time to drop the former guy thing. It's time to drop the TFG acronym for Donald Trump. It's time to refer to him by his actual name and emphasize the horrible things that he's saying and planning. Not just the things that he's done, not just his record of horrible things that he's spoken, but also his record as a former president and also what he plans to do in the White House once he gets there, involving Project 2025 and Agenda 47 and this plan to basically seize control over the federal bureaucracy, installing loyalists in 50,000 posts up and down the federal bureaucracy, putting the DOJ under direct control of the White House, ordering the military to arrest peaceful protesters and charging them with the Insurrection Act. Right. These are just the tip of the iceberg for what Donald Trump plans. So it's important to talk about him by name. I get it. I get that you don't like to say his name, but it's important to remind people because a lot of regular voters, maybe people who are in your Facebook friend list, for example, they don't know what TFG means. So when you're ranting about TFG, you got to make sure that everyone understands who you're ranting about. Yeah, they may get it, but they may not either. So it's just it's a basic marketing thing. Say, if you got a problem with someone, make sure you mention their name. Otherwise, people are going to go, well, who the hell is he talking about?
Yeah, as I said last week, say his name.
Say his name.
Mary Trump and I have similar but different approaches to this, and maybe you'll have one of your own, but it's important to be clear about who you're talking about. That's the point here. Mary always refers to her uncle as Donald.
Yes.
She never refers to him as the former president. She never refers to him as Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. She never refers to him as the New York Times does by style book policy, call him Mr. Trump.
She
calls him Donald, just Donald. You can do that, or you could take my approach, and let's just call him Trump.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are other Trumps, including Mary, but when you say Trump, who do you think of? You're the guy you don't want to think of. So, say his name, and it doesn't have to be respectful, but it has to be clear.
Yeah.
It has to be clear who you're talking about.
Yeah, Donald is fine. If you want to refer to him by Donald, I don't think there's any wiggle room there. If you're talking about Donald and, say, for example, blurting violent threats, I think people are going to get who you're talking about.
To make the connection,
Yeah, I think that's an easy leap from Donald to, but some obscure acronym. That's the thing that the left does all the time. We come up with some stupid acronym for something, and it's horrible, horrible marketing. I'm blanking on some examples, but
it's fun for like 5 or 10 minutes, but then it goes on too long.
Yes. We come up with acronyms for policy. We come up with acronyms for legislation that's going through Congress. And it's fine when we're talking amongst ourselves and we're all wonks and we understand what those acronyms mean. But for regular people who go out and vote and who are likely on the fence, like, okay, well, Joe Biden and the cost of eggs versus Donald Trump and the hundreds of thousands of awful things that he's done. I still don't know. I'm undecided. So you got to make sure that we hammer regular voters with the facts, with things yanked from the memory hole, with his record, what he plans to do. And the only way you can really emphasize that is if you say his name. And that's just the thing. I know this has been a, kind of a soapbox for me for some time now because, he's a threat. He's a serious threat. And we don't want to dance around that with cute nicknames and so forth. So,
right. Yeah.
When
it comes to abbreviations, stop that BS ASAP.
Yes. So when we come back from a break, we got to talk about Mike Pence. We got to talk about Judge Mershon, whatever else we can squeeze into the remaining minutes of today's show. Back with more podcasting right after these words.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and here's what you missed. That's life. this is what autocrats say to each other. This is what Assad said in Syria when they were showing him the decimated hospitals and schools and bombed out shells of what used to be Aleppo. That's what he said to Putin. That's what they say to each other. They go, well, you know, you live, you die. That's life. This is how they approach life, okay? They all claim to be uber religious, but this is what they say when they have somebody murdered. Well, you know, crap happens, and that's life. So in Putin's Russia, you're either exiled, jailed, or dead if you run against him. And I just think you need to be able to look over there and say, oh my God, that is what will happen here if people show up for a lunatic like Donald Trump, who thinks that encouraging violence against his own country is acceptable behavior for a candidate for president. Don't have time to listen to the live show? Want to hear more on your schedule? Go to randyrhoads.com and buy a stinking podcast.
Bob Seska, please, more music.
Once upon a nightingale, I cast the dream of a thousand sails. Hanging crosses, rusty nails, suburban streets and fairy tales. Stood on corners with despair and a thousand demons in my hair. Fear's a fickle carousel.
Yeah, you know who this is. This is the great Michael McDermott and a single called Positively Central Park. And Central Park happens to be the place where I hope Donald Trump has to live in a tent. Very soon. Wow. Yes, I'm wishing homelessness on Donald Trump.
I understand that. I understand that. I love that song, by the way.
And wonderful song.
As you may begin to gather over time, that I love good lyrics. And
yeah,
man, that song has good lyrics.
Michael McDermott, one of the best, the independent recording artists who play here in the show. You got to get his entire library of albums and singles into your record collection right now, bobseska.com. Find this episode dated 3/19. You know what to do. Click that link, scroll down, and start downloading now. Okay, so Mike Pence refuses for the first time ever, this has never happened before, where someone's former vice president has refused to endorse that person for president. So Mike Pence is not endorsing Donald Trump. Suddenly, he grew a little bit of a spine. Isn't that nice? He's like a real boy now.
It is, yeah. Much too late. How many people, as he stood by grimacing or whatever that expression was on his face, as he stood behind Donald Trump those 4 years, he did nothing to speak up or to stop the misinformation flowing out of Trump regarding the pandemic.
Right.
He stood by and watched that obediently.
Yes.
And so much more. I'm grateful. We're all grateful, and it is significant. It is undoubted. It's huge, in fact.
Yeah.
That he has done what he has done.
Mm-hmm.
History will hate him less.
Yes, I think so, and I think this deserves a round of applause. You know, because look, I mean, obviously, we're not endorsing everything else Mike Pence has done. Mike Pence is a horrible man who's done some horrible things, especially while he was governor of Indiana, and for that matter, vice president. But he's taken a brave posture insofar as, at the very least, he is probably getting destroyed via email and snail mail and phone calls and horrible death threats over this.
I'm sure he has adequate protection.
So in that sense, I do have empathy for Mike Pence. Not a whole lot, but I do have some. Because, you know, it's not an easy thing to be faced with death threats from an entire MAGA army, right?
A dangerous stand to take on that side of the fence, frankly.
Yes, yes. And again, we're talking about, here's more context for Donald Trump. We know for a fact that Mike Pence is probably getting inundated with death threats from people because Donald Trump has made that sort of thing okay through his behavior and statements. Yeah.
I wanted to add this as a capper earlier.
Yeah.
The context is Donald Trump.
Yes. That's precisely right. And so the other thing that Mike Pence didn't do, however, is he didn't say anything about whether he would vote for Trump anyway. But to me, if he came out and said, I would vote for Trump, I'm still going to vote for Trump, that's an endorsement.
Right.
So it's most likely that what Mike Pence will do, and which I think a lot of Republicans will do. In fact, mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a Bradley effect among Republicans telling pollsters that they're going to vote for Donald Trump, but actually getting into the voting booth and not voting for Donald Trump.
Maybe not.
Skipping the presidential category on their ballot, or writing in or voting for a third party candidate, something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Or, in fact, just staying home is another option that they may engage in.
Otherwise meaningless, but we might watch the primaries today. And I know Kansas and Florida and as several other states are having primaries today.
Yeah.
Florida will be interesting to watch, because it'll be interesting to see, now that DeSantis is out of the race but still on the ballot, how he does. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how many Republicans, because only Republicans are voting in Florida today. The Democrats had already backed Joe Biden. There was nobody else challenging him on the Florida ballot, so there was no need for a Democratic primary. Joe's our guy. For the Republicans, they still have Trump and everybody else. So it'll be interesting to see today how many Republicans don't vote for Trump.
I think that's an important metric here in all of this, mm-hmm. as we're looking ahead to November. I think there are going to be a lot of Republicans who just don't vote in the presidential category, or vote third party, or stay home. I think this is a very distinct possibility, and I don't think they're telling pollsters this. Because I think, by and large, people who respond to poll questions mm-hmm. often tell pollsters what they want to be true. Or right. they idealize their responses.
Right.
Like, oh, yes, I'm totally going to vote for Trump because I want to stick it to the libtards or whatever. Whatever.
Or
I want to own the libs.
I'm going to give an opposite answer because I don't like pollsters and I want their poll to be messed up.
That's right. Or I'm a Republican voter and I'm going to say I'm a Democrat who hates Joe Biden. You know, there could be an Operation Chaos happening in the polls, in response to the polls. That's entirely possible as well, but I'm getting too far afield here. I just don't think the election is going to turn out the way the pollsters are saying. I think
is
going to be...
No. And it's still early. That's the point. Yeah. As we were saying earlier in the show, the electorate is not engaged yet, so what do the polls mean, really?
Yeah,
nothing at this point. It is still too early to poll.
Now, look, if we come out of the August convention and Joe Biden is 5 points ahead, that's when I become the don't get happy guy again. But in the meantime, I'm feeling pretty good, because I feel as though any negatives that Joe Biden has are being canceled out by the wide variety of negatives Donald Trump has, including the age issue. I think the age issue is going to cancel itself out.
Yeah, is gonna is the key word, will. I don't think we're there yet. I think people are still focused on high prices and Biden's age. I'll give you an example. What the Republicans are still hammering away at that, and their latest thing is his footwear, because I think he was spotted wearing Hoka sneakers, Hokas, I guess they are.
Very popular. Very popular and comfortable.
Indeed they are. Running shoes, all kinds of. But this apparently is to keep him from falling down, according to Republicans now.
Yeah,
so this image continues. I say these things so that you and I and the people listening to us will have a realistic vision of what's going on out there in the world and what we're up against, what we have to overcome.
Yeah.
We know it's BS. I think it's important to constantly be reminded that we have to quash that BS.
Yes, yes. And so that's going to be an important part of the next, 7 months here.
That's our work, yeah.
So, yeah, we all have to engage. We all have to get the word out. We have to remind people. We have to yank shit out of the memory hole and mm-hmm. say, yeah, remember when this happened? Remember when he said to slow the testing down? Remember when he said Charlottesville, there were good people on both sides?
Oh, yeah.
It's also important to emphasize the 3 years prior to COVID and prior to January 6th, because that was a nightmare in and of itself. I don't like this revisionist history where you say, well, you know, prior to COVID, everything was fine. It wasn't fine. I mean, the summer of 2017, we almost ended up in a nuclear conflict against North Korea. Because Donald Trump decided, I'm going to do the whole fire and fury thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bait Kim Jong-un into attacking someone. And so these are all, I mean, we could start doing the list and be here all day of the things that happened prior to COVID, prior to January 6th. And it's important to go back to that part of the memory hole as well. I mean, it wasn't just a bed of roses prior to COVID here. I mean, economically, there was a manufacturing recession. I like to emphasize that, where the guy who builds things presided over a recession in the sector that builds things. I mean, what does that say about Donald Trump on top of his financial fraud and on top of all the other things, the fact that he's broke, you know? So, okay, I could do this all day, right? Let's talk about Judge Mershon. One last thing here before we wrap up the show. Judge Mershon, of course, denied Trump's motion to block testimony from key witnesses, including Michael Cohen, including Stormy Daniels, including Karen McDougal. So all those people can, in fact, testify. Also, this order included a list of things that Trump is not allowed to do. More specifically, not allowed to say. For example, he's not allowed to argue that his indictment is, quote, novel, unusual, or unprecedented. Because one of the things he does all the time is that this never happened before. No one's ever been treated this badly.
Neither are you, dude.
He's not allowed to complain about pre-indictment delays.
I should hope not.
Yeah. He's not allowed to attack the purported motives of the DA, judge, or court staff to the jury.
Right.
He's not allowed to gain sympathy from jurors about possible punishment. So this is, I guess, pertaining specifically to some of the things he says on Truth Central.
Truth Central.
But also primarily his behavior in court, right?
Yeah, where he's going to have to be every day.
Yes. So meantime, prosecutors may not show jurors the Access Hollywood tape in this case against Trump, but they may describe it in alleging his motive for the hush money payments.
I'll take it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So there's that. I want to, before as we're going here, I want to say Judge Cannon has made an insane set of rulings in Florida.
That's true. Yeah.
In regard to the documents case. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if the 11th Circuit stepped in to either remove her or reverse her.
Yeah.
She's already talking about jury instructions, and she hasn't even selected a trial date. The woman is an inexperienced judge, and she's appointed by Trump, and she's clearly ruling in his favor or trying to. She has to be stopped. I wanted to get that in.
Yeah, I think Jack Smith should file a motion to recuse. And she will, of course, refuse to recuse. And then he can appeal that to the 11th Circuit and go right to the 11th Circuit, because enough is fucking enough with this.
Yeah. Yeah. This could cause more delays, you know, and that would be a win for Trump, too. But this woman is clearly insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back to Judge Mershon's decisions here, I just want to be clear about this. Just occurred to me the fact that Donald Trump will violate these terms.
Oh, he will.
In which case, I don't think Judge Mershon is going to be dancing around penalties for Donald Trump the way the civil cases did.
Trump's running out of rope here.
Yeah, yeah. The criminal judges will be a lot more strict about what Donald Trump can and can't do.
Well, I'm glad Stormy gets to testify. You know she's got a new documentary that's dropped on Peacock, right?
Yes, yes.
That means Peacock is now doing Peacockumentaries. Thank you and good night.
Peacockumentaries. That's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah.
That may be the name of today's show, and we got it in right under the wire. Excellent. Very well done, my friend. You know what? You know we didn't get to? We got to talk about this on the Shadow Docket. Asbestos. We're going to have an asbestos fest on the Shadow Docket. We're going to talk about asbestos. And how it pertains to Donald Trump. That'll be coming up on the Shadow Docket. BobSeska.com. So wait a second. I was doing the wrong address. Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow.
Uh-huh.
Also, I want to talk about Elon Musk and ketamine.
Uh-huh.
And huge news for home buyers and home sellers, for that matter. This
good
is
news.
Massive news. Yes.
Easily explained. Yes.
Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Once again, go sign up for $5 a month, the Shadow Docket level. And you can keep listening on the Patreon page. Also on the app, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, we'll see you over there, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.